නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ Actually, we were discussing a sutta from the Moggallana Samyutta, and one after the other, we arrived Animitta Samadhi related kind of a question, where Venerable Moggallana is explaining how he practiced Animitta Samadhi, and ultimately he was successful in that practice. There also he explained that he tried to establish mindfulness in the signless concentration, but various other signs started appearing, and then Buddha noticed it and approached him and then tried to correct him. Ultimately, he was able to make it perfect. So there we want to recognize or understand what is this Animitta Samadhi, the signless concentration, and then we started exploring several other suttas which are explaining about the Animitta Samadhi. And one sutta is actually where Buddha explained about the Animitta Samadhi gradually, how all the other external additional signs are kept aside, and then we are trying to more and more being with the signless state. So this is not immediately possible. Actually, the approach is where you are practicing Satipatthana, the practicing Vipassana, where either you are experiencing or observing a bodily process, you are observing various different kinds of feelings, or you are keeping your attention onto the mind so that you are able to understand very quick succession of various thoughts. So that ultimately we are able to understand how quickly things are rising and passing away. And once you reach there, probably because of the speed, the rapid succession of the events, now the yogi comes to a state where he can't recognize the signs. What is its shape? What is its color? How long it exists? What is its tone or the quality? None of them are able to trace, because these phenomena are extremely transient. They quickly come and vanish. So there one may come to a state, now one is unable to understand the signs, pick the correct, say, the characteristics. So everything appear like blurred, everything has become kind of a flux. So this is how we are very much like through our Vipassana practice, how the signs are slowly, slowly abandoned, because now mind is fairly attuned with the impermanence. Previously, we were working with some sort of a perception of permanence, but now things are getting more and more impermanent. Things are appearing quite transient. Now the mind can't trace what are the characteristics, features of the phenomena under observation. Now, at one point, when this practice develops, ultimately the whole process is given up. Now mind becomes the signless. Now, as we already discussed, the signless state at the beginning is fairly only experienced for a short moment, but slowly it will be enhanced as you further and further practice. It becomes longer and longer. One is able to maintain it maybe 5 minutes, maybe after that maybe 10 minutes, after that 20 minutes. So like that one may be able to enhance the signless state quite a long time, and slowly, slowly it becomes one's kind of posture. One's able to maintain it for a long time. We can say now you are fairly having a good experience of signless state, and as a result of that, it becomes more and more familiar to you, accessible to you. And when it is accessible, probably you can try to get it while walking, and there also you are able to jump to it, able to quickly plunge into it, rather than going through that systematic approach, because now it becomes a fairly familiar state in the mind. As a result of the practice, now it becomes more and more registered in the mind. You are able to quickly attune to that at any given time. So this is how we are practicing it. And now we can go take another sutta, which is explaining actually what are the characteristics necessary to maintain it. So this is available in the Mahavedala Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. So there are a discussion between Venerable Sariputta and the Venerable Mahakottita. So Venerable Kottita is asking series of questions and Venerable Sariputta is answering them. And one question is like this: Katipana uso paccaya animittaya ceto imuttiya samapattiyati. So what are the conditions for the signless state to arise, signless state to arise in the mind? And then Venerable Sariputta mentioned Dveko auso paccaya animitta ceto vimuttya samapattya. So there are two causes for the signless state to arise in one's mind. What are them? Sabba nimitta nancha amanasikaro. One should not pay attention to any signs. Animitta cha dhatuya manasikaro. Instead you are paying attention to signless state. Now that means signless state is readily available. So you have some idea about the signless state. So it is already registered in the mind. Now you are jumping to that, paying your attention to that, ignoring all the other signs. Now, as I said, this is not immediately possible. So you are basically, through the practice of vipassana, you are able to slowly establish your attention in the signless state. Then you are prolonging it, you are making it longer and longer available to you. And ultimately it becomes accessible to you and familiar to you, and so the mind is able to quickly advert to it. Now this is the state mentioned here. So now you have a fair access to signless state, quickly you can attune to that. So Venerable Sariputta is saying, so the causes are, so you have to omit or ignore all the existing signs. Instead now you are paying your attention to the signless state. Now then Venerable Kottita is asking, Katipanauso paccaya animitta ceto vimuttiya attitiya. So what are the causes for this signless state to persist? And then Venerable Sariputta explains, Sabba nimitta nancha manasikaro. So that we already understood. So all the signs to other mundane kind of phenomena have to be ignored. So we should not pay attention to all the signs. And then Animitta cha dhatuya manasikaro. That also we discussed. Now we need to plunge into animitta. You need to pay attention to signless. And then pubbe cha abhisankaro. That means kind of a prior determination about the kind of the duration of the animitta, or that I want to stay there for a long time. I want to ignore all the other signs. So likewise, your intention is fairly strong. Okay, you like to dwell in there. So that prior determination, that prior intention is the third cause. So there are, Venerable Sariputta explains these three causes for this signless state to stay for a long time, as you wish. Now then he is asking, Venerable Kottita is asking, how Animuttaya Chetvimuttya Uttanaya Uttanayati. How you are emerging from the signless state. Now you do the opposite. That means attention to all signs you start. So rather than being in the signless, you are now again back into the signs. And now you are emerging from the signless. You were in the signless, but now you emerge from it, and now you start taking signs. So likewise, it's a kind of a play between the signless state and the state of where all the signs are available. So that means these signs are very much like accessible to you, but you are not accessing them. You have the capacity to avoid any accession as you intend to it. So that is a signless. Say you are, if necessary, you can pay attention to signless and ignore all the signs. When you want to kind of emerge from it, you start ignoring the signless and you coming back to the world of signs. Something like that. Now this is actually another sutta where Buddha basically encouraged that. Buddha says, තයෝ මේ භික්ඛවා භික්ඛවේ අකුසල විතක්කා කාම විතක්කෝ ව්‍යාපාද විතක්කෝ විහිංසා විතක්කෝ දිස් ඉන් ද පින්ඩෝල්‍ය සුත්ත ව්‍යා බුද්ධ සේස ඕකේ මංක්ස් දෙර් ආර් 3 අන්හෝල්සම් තෝට්ස් කාම විතක්ක ද සෙන්ෂුවල් තෝට්ස් ව්‍යාපාද විතක්ක තෝට්ස් ඔෆ් ඉල් විල් විහිංසා විතක්ක ද තෝට්ස් ඔෆ් හාමින් නව් හව් ආර් යූ ගෝයින් ටු ඕවර්කම් දෙම් ඉමේචකෝ භික්ඛවේ තයෝ අකුසල විතක්කා ක්වේ අපරිසේසා නිරුජ්ජಂತಿ where are these unwholesome thoughts completely abandoned chatusuva satipatthanesu supattittic cittassa viharato animittanam va samadhin bhavayato now buddha gives two options the first option is when you are practicing satipatthana so all four foundations of mindfulness are helping us to abandon all these unwholesome thoughts so that is the first approach So once you are able to go through it, now you are having the capacity or the skill to be in the animitta state. Now you have another second option, that is animittaṃ va samādhiṃ bhāvayato. Now you are developing the animitta samādhi. The second option is for one who develops signless concentration. So when you are further and further developing signless concentration, you start having the capacity to maintain mind in a way thoughtless. So whenever thoughts are arising, you are able to easily trace them, quickly trace them. And if it is unwholesome, you may have the capacity to abandon it. So therefore, two methods Buddha mentioned. Now, if one is practicing satipatthana, there you are actually, at the beginning, you are using an object. Say you are practicing breathing. Mindfulness of breathing. So you are again and again paying attention to breathing, so that becomes your primary object. So the thoughts are ignored. So there may be unwholesome thoughts popping up, but you ignore that and paying attention to breathing. So now that is a kind of an escape. Suppose you are practicing Vedana Anupassana. Then you are paying attention to various different kinds of feelings, but maybe unwholesome thoughts time to time pops up. But you ignore them, able to pay attention to various feelings. That's another option. Assume that you are practicing Chitta Anupassana. That's actually a direct confrontation of the thoughts. And various thoughts are arising, even the unwholesome thoughts. And you see how they are coming and going. Now you are not paying attention to the breath or the bodily phenomena or any other feelings. Rather, you directly confront the thinking. Various thoughts are coming and you are able to recognize them and they quickly pass away. Another thought coming and that also pass away. And irrespective of whether it is wholesome or unwholesome, one may understand its impermanent nature, how it is coming and going, arising and passing away. So that is a characteristic feature of this thoughts, whatever the sankhara. All mental formations have these characteristics. They are arising and then passing away. So you are become confident of this nature. Now you don't need to pay attention to the body or feelings. Rather, you are quite confidently directly paying attention to the mind. So as one practices this, ultimately you come into the signless. Because all the thoughts are abandoned, now you get kind of an absence of thoughts. Now even signs can appear, that also you may have to ignore. And then you can even plunge into the signless through this practice. So the Satipatthana practice actually paves the way to the signless state. Now here Buddha therefore recommend and encourage us to practice signless state. Alameva animitto samadhi bhavetum. Animitto bhikkave samadhi bhavito bahulikato mahappalo hoti mahanisansu. So Buddha therefore mentioned, this is reason enough, bhikkhus, to develop the signless concentration. When the signless concentration is developed and cultivated, bhikkhus, it is of great fruit and benefit. Now in this Pindolya Sutta, Buddha encouraged the monks, the practitioners, to practice signless state. So in one advantage, it is able to abandon all the unwholesome thoughts, keep the mind fairly purified, and it is stress-free and all. Ultimately, one may able to understand even the subtle defilements. And now we'll come to another very interesting sutta, which is talking about this signless state. I mean, it's a little longer sutta, but the discussion about animitta comes as the last, but I'll quickly rush through the whole sutta, which is also quite interesting. At one time, actually, two Brahmas approached the Buddha, and they explained the Buddha that two nuns have passed away. Actually, both of them were able to attain Nibbana. So, one was in the Sopadisesa Nibbana, one attained that state where she became enlightened. Another nun actually also has attained that. Another Brahma came and informed that to the Buddha. And after hearing that, Buddha kept silent. So those two Brahmas understood, okay, Buddha approved it. So they are understanding how they have understood the emancipation of those two nuns, very much like Buddha approved. So that's why he kept silent. And then they quickly vanished. And next day, actually Buddha informed this incident to the monks. Monks, while I was dwelling alone, these two Brahmas approached me. And they informed me about the emancipation of two nuns. So this is a very interesting kind of a situation. So Buddha being informed by two Brahmas about the attainment of Nibbana by two nuns. Now, while this discussion is going on, Venerable Moggallana was in that audience, and he had the idea, who are the monks or who are the Brahmas capable of understanding this emancipation? Now, there are various deities, there are different kinds of devas and Brahmas. Who are the ones who have the capacity to know that one is going to attain Nibbana? So, this is the question came to Venerable Moggallana's mind. Now, at that time, recently there was one monk who passed away, and he born in the Brahma realm. His name is called Tissa. And this monk was a good practitioner, and he ultimately passed away and became a Brahma. That means he is not an Arahant, by the way, while he was passing away. But he is still an accomplished monk. I don't know, maybe an Anagami, an unreturner. And he passed away and became a Brahma. And Venerable Moggallana get to know that, okay, this monk was here with us, his name is Tissa, and now he became a Brahma. So probably I can approach him and ask whether he has the capacity and who is having this capacity. All that I can ask from that Tissa. So now quickly, through his psychic powers, Venerable Moggallana approached this Brahma Tissa and started asking the questions. Actually, Brahma Tissa get to know that Venerable Moggallana is coming, and he welcomed him and arranged the seat and had a cordial discussion, and all that previous preliminary stuff has happened. And now Venerable Moggallana is asking the question, which devas Tissa know one who has a residue remaining as one with a residue remaining, and one who has no residue remaining as one without residue remaining? Katame sanko tissa devanang evang jnanang hoti. Saupadise seva saupadise soti anupadise seva anupadise soti. That means when one become an arahant, not yet passed away, he's yet in the living being, but all the defilements are abandoned, all the asavas are abandoned. So are there any Brahmas who can know that? And one quick, when someone attain Parinibbana, again are there Brahmas who are knowing, okay, he completely extinguished, there is no any rebirth, so he attained final Parinibbana. So who are the Brahmas having this capacity? And then this answer mentioned by the Brahma says that there are Brahmas who basically happy about the Brahma realm, and who are happy about the Brahma's beauty, and they are happy about the Brahma's glory, their authority, but do not understand beyond that. They don't know much beyond that Brahma realm, Brahma capacity. And those Brahmas don't have this capacity. So that means those Brahmas don't have the capacity to know who attained Parinibbana or who attained the Arahatship. But there are still Brahmas who are not really happy about the Brahma state and Brahma's capacity or this authority, their glory. And they know kind of even further emancipation. So they are actually the kind of nobles. Actually, they know some understanding about the final emancipation. So those are the ones, Brahmas, who know who is attaining the Nibbana or who has become the enlightened and ultimately who attained the Parinibbana. So they are the Brahmas who have this capacity. And now they start explaining. He start explaining different states. What are these capacities? So one is this. Idamarasa Moggallana Bhikkhu Ubato Bhaga Vimutto Hoti Tamenante Deva Evan Janati. Now there are monks who have attained Ubato Bhaga Vimutta. So that means liberated in both respects. Samatha aspects as well as the Vipassana aspects. Samatha aspect is the all eight jhana, mastering all eight jhana. And the Vipassana aspect is that all the asavas are abandoned. He became an arahant, fully enlightened arahant with samatha capacity, with jhanic capacities. So that is called Ubato Bhaga Vimutta. So if a particular monk attained that state, so this particular Brahma can have the capacity. This venerable one is liberated in both respects. As long as his body stands, devas and humans will see him. But with the breakup of the body, devas and humans will see him no more. It is in this way that those devas know one who has a residue remaining as one with the residue remaining, and one who has no residue remaining as one without residue remaining. Saupadisesa and Anupadisesa Nibbana, they properly understood. So this is one case. And then another arahant is there who is called Panyayamutta. That means he don't have the samatha capacity, but he has the vipassana complete accomplishment. So he has become fully liberated arahant. All the asavas are abandoned. So he is the one liberated by wisdom. He don't have the jhanic absorption related experience, that capacity. So those devas, those Brahmas still can know, okay, he is a Panyayamutta arahant. So his Nibbana is quite known to these Brahmas. And then there is one called body witness, Kaya Sakhi. So this Kaya Sakhi is actually a noble person. Now I have given here a little diagram to show you. So these different terms, I'll come back to the explanation given in the sutta. So I have just summarized what are these different names. So the Ubato Bhaga Vimutta and Panya Vimutta are the arahant who have fully accomplished. So Ubato Bhaga Vimutta ones actually have some additional capacity. So those are the ability to attain the jhana, experiencing eight emancipations. Vimokkhas are available to them. Eight vimokkhas are there. We'll try to discuss them maybe at a later time. So Ubato Bhaga Vimutta ones have the both capacities, samatha as well as vipassana. Panya Vimutta, he is also an arahant, but only have the vipassana capacity. He has fully enlightened, by the way. And then there is these three terms, Dittipatta, Kaya Sakhi and Saddha Vimutta. So those are actually the nobles. It actually ranges. So this Dittipatta noble, Ariya Puggala, either can be a Sotapanna Palastha, or Sakadagami Margastha, Sakadagami Palastha, Anagami Margastha, Anagami Palastha, or Arihat Margastha. So there are basically six states are there. Probably you have heard about Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, Arihat. Now Sotapanna has two stages, Margastha and Palastha. The one who is practicing and the one who has attained, accomplished. Sakadagami also like that. The Margastha, the one who is now already a Sotapanna and now he is practicing to become a Sakadagami. So that's, he is the Sakadagami Margastha. And ultimately he achieve it, now he is the Sakadagami Palastha. So likewise the Anagami Margastha and Anagami Palastha. And once one become an Anagami, he is now practicing to become an Arahant, so he is the Arihat Margastha. Now, Arihat Palastha is the one, Panya Vimutta and Ubato Bhaga Vimutta. Previous all other six states, those nobles, actually can divide it into three states. Dittipatta, Saddha Vimutta. Where Dittipatta one is based on the wisdom. His main skill is with the wisdom. He's continuing keeping the wisdom as his main concern or main skill. Saddhayamutta, again a noble, but his skill is more into the saddha. He has more faith, he has the ability, okay, I can continue. He has faith on his own faculties and he has faith in the Dhamma, the Buddha, Sangha, all that. The faith faculty is more prominent, so therefore he is called the Saddhayamutta. But both of them don't have the eight emancipations. So that means Samatha skills are not thoroughly available to them, but still they are nobles. And there is another noble called Kayasakki who has both. So he is the one having the Vipassana as well as Samatha, being a noble person. Probably he may be the one ultimately become Ubato Bhaga Vimutta, Arahant, because he already have Samatha skills as well as Vipassana skills, and when he become fully enlightened, so he gained the both capacities, so he become Ubato Bhaga Vimutta. So basically these are the terms how these Arya Puggalas are very much like divided into various categories. Now let's get back to the Sutta. So the Kayasakki person, when he is now having Vipassana skills and the Samatha skills, so the Brahma can know that. In translation it is translated as body witness. Those devas know him thus. This Venerable One is a body witness. If this Venerable One resorts to congenial lodgings, relies on good friends, and harmonizes the spiritual faculties, perhaps he will realize for himself with direct knowledge in this very life that unsurpassed consummation of the spiritual life for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the household life into homelessness. And having entered upon it, dwell in it. It is this way too that those devas know one who has residue remaining and who don't have residue remaining. So still this Kayasakki person, Dittipatta person, Saddhayamutta person, Dhammanupadhi person, all them actually have something to do. So that's why it is mentioned beautifully here. So these devas know, okay, now he is a noble person. Probably he may get a proper place to practice. Probably he may get a good spiritual companionship. Spiritual friends are there. And some good support. When all these are available, probably he can accomplish the arahantship within this life, within this very life. So, and again, another important thing is the balancing of the faculties. So that is also necessary. So still some work to do. So if all these conditions are fairly satisfied, he may be able to fully liberate. So this capacity known by the, what we call these Brahmas. Now after hearing this, now Venerable Moggallana returns back to the Buddha. And he mentioned all the story to the Buddha. So I went to approach Venerable this Brahmatissa, I asked the question and he gave all this explanation. And he explained about the, what we call, about six nobles. And he mentioned that the Brahmas are there who has the capacity to know these skills. And interestingly, Buddha asked a very interesting question. Nahi panate moggallana tisso brahma sattapang animitta viharim puggalan deseti. But Moggallana, didn't the Brahma Tissa teach you about the seventh person, the one who dwells in the signless, Buddha is the one pointing the question. Didn't he mention about the one who is practicing signless? And then Venerable Moggallana immediately invite the Buddha, Bante, and this is the time for you to explain about it. So that means when this Brahmatisa didn't explain it, that is obvious. So Bante, this is the correct time to explain it. Fortunate one, the blessed one should teach about this seventh person. By knowing from you, we'll understand it. And then Buddha says, okay, then you closely pay attention. I am going to explain it. Then the blessed one mentioned, Ida Moggallana Bhikkhu Sabba Nimittanang Amanasikara Animittang Cheto Samadhin Upasampajya Viharati. So there Buddha mentioned, now there is a practitioner who has the capacity to dwell in the signless state, and that also these devas can know. Those devas know him thus, through non-attention to all marks, signs, this Venerable One enters and dwells in the signless mental concentration. If this Venerable One resorts to congenial lodgings, relies on good friends, and harmonizes the spiritual faculties, perhaps he will realize for himself, with direct knowledge in this very life, that unsurpassed consummation of the spiritual life. So that means this is another state that we can understand that Buddha is explaining. So the signless concentration, if one is practicing, so that is also leading towards emancipation. Complete liberation is possible. Now we can get back to the Chulasunyata Sutta to know a little bit more about certain capacities or certain qualities. So in the Chulasunyata Sutta, basically Buddha explains how one is practicing it so that the asavas are abandoned. Influxes are abandoned. Now, one issue with the influxes. Now, there are three main influxes. Kamasava, Bhavasava, Avijjasava. So, when there is Kamasava, the sensual desire, so there may be certain friction coming to the mind because of this Kamasava. Say you get various sensual thoughts, sensual feelings, various desires, you start tortured by lust. So all that happens because of this sensual desire. And assume that you have bhavasava, the desire to become and desire to being. And so you have some idea of continuation. Okay, I want to live, I want to continue, I want to exist. So you still feel as a person, as an individual. So this individual has to exist. Still that personality view, or probably we can say even at a subtle level, the sense of I is not yet fully abandoned. Still some presence is there, some residue is there. So that person needs to be continued, because still that Bhava Tanha is there. Still that the Bhava Asava is there. So that makes one to continue, and that also gets some different kinds of perceptions, different kinds of signs, marks, and certain motivation, intentions, all that is coming to the mind. And again, it's a kind of a torture. Then avijjasava, the influx of ignorance, that also contributes heavily to the personality, appearing as an individual, thinking that there is a person, a being here. So this being has to continue. And that friction coming because of this personality, this limited I, how to maintain this I, all that is another friction. Now, as one practices animitta more and more, now according to this sutta, we can see that Buddha mentioned, Kamasavapichitta vimuchati, Bhavasavapichitta vimuchati, Avijjasavapichitta vimuchati. So that means ultimately all the asavas are to be abandoned. One becomes an arahant. So what is the result? So how he basically feel it? Ye asava, ye asu darata kamasavam paticca te idhana santi. Whatever disturbances there might be, dependent on the taint of sensual desire, those are not present here. So that is very interesting. So all the different disturbances he experienced so far because of the sensual desire is now not there. that burden, that disturbance, that contaminations which has happened to the mind is no more. So mind remains pure, no contaminations, no pollutions. So the mind's purity is intact. And further Buddha mentioned, ye asudharata bhavasavam paticca te idhana santi. Whatever disturbances there might be depending on the taint of being, those are also not present. Similarly, ye asudharata avijjasavam paticca te idhana santi. Whatever disturbances there might be depending on the taint of ignorance, that also not available. Because he has completely abandoned the sense of I, the asmimana. Already, as when one becomes sotapanna, he abandoned the personality view, sakkayaditti, and the avijja related, ignorance related, all the taints, all the different kinds of torments are fully abandoned. His mind is utterly pure. And that purity is further highlighted here. Sunyamidam sanyagatam kamasavenati pajanati. Now Buddha mentioned, this field of perception is void of the taint of sensual desire. Now still he is fully conscious. He is not dead. He is fully conscious. But that consciousness is very pure. And that doesn't have any taint of sensual desire. And any kind of a sanyagatam. Sunyamidam sanyagatam kamasavenati. Now say for example, when you have some sensual desire, so various images pops up in the mind. Suppose you are now going to buy a car. So now you have seen several places, you approached several dealers, you went through certain manuals, and you browse through internet. Now what happened to your mind? So later, while you are simply resting, so all those different images, maybe conversations, different promotions, all again and again come into the mind. It's a kind of a torture. Those images are popping up in the mind. So this sensuality related, desire based images, perceptions, marks again and again occupy the mind. But when one becomes an arahant, fully free from the karma server, none of them come and disturb the mind. Now this is one area. And then bhavasavenati pajanati. Whatever the sanya perceptions related to the bhavasava, taint of being, is also not present. It's also empty. And sunyamidam sanyagatam avijjasavenati pajanati. So whatever the sanya perceptions, signs, marks related to the ignorance are also not there. Mind is empty. So that means ultimately mind become fully empty. We started with signless, end up with sunyata, end up with kind of the emptiness. So these are fairly interrelated actually. But here Buddha explains it in a way that there seems to be a kind of a evolution from starting with the signless, ultimately end up with complete emptiness. So maybe that is the reason why this sutta is termed as Chula Sunyata Sutta. Even though it is talking fairly of the signless state also, but the name is also given Chula Sunyata Sutta, because they are somewhat interrelated. The signless state ultimately converts into the sunyata, so the mind is utterly pure, completely empty, empty of kamasava, empty of any signs of kamasava, empty of bhavasava, empty of any signs of bhavasava, empty of avijjasava, empty of any signs of avijjasava. So ultimately actually Buddha confirms it like this. Evam pissa esa ananda yathabuddha avipallatta parisuddha paramanuttara sunyata vakkanti bhavati. Thus he regards it as this ananda. This is the genuine, undistorted, pure descent into voidness, supreme and unsurpassed. So this is the maximum. So this is the maximum that one is achieving. One becomes an arahant, and this is the best. And actually in this Chula Sunyata Sutta, Buddha adds, by the way, I didn't include this into the note, Buddha mentioned now it is fully empty of any of these asavas and all these what you call the signs. But you are still having this body. Body is still giving some amount of trouble. When it is going through some disturbances, when your faculties are still operating, you hear noise, you get sick, and you get older, and all that, this salayatana based, this six senses based, certain amount of torture, certain amount of issues are still there. So that is also mentioned in this Chulasunjata Sutta. That means the Arahant may go through some bodily suffering. Because still he is still living, even though the mind is completely pure, he can go through some bodily sickness, aging, and whatever the disturbances coming through because of the senses. Okay, with that I like to conclude this Animitta related signless related information and several supporting suttas. And now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Pante. Teron Sanai.
Anything to discuss here?
On your side, Pante?
Still they are preparing.
Okay. Then maybe in the meantime, there's a written question here, Pante.
Yeah.
It says, most respected Pante, first of all, I pay my great respect on teaching a beautiful sutta. One, could you please explain the difference between concentration and first jhana, please?
Concentration and first jhana.
Yes.
Yeah, samadhi is a concentration. Say it's a broad term. Actually, you can have a certain amount of samadhi before you even attain the first jhana. So as you know, again and again you are paying attention to a particular object, say breathing, and you are applying your mind to the what you call the object. The vitakka is there. And say you are sustaining your attention, the vichara is also there. As this succeeds, then fair amount of kind of a joy can arise, the rapture can arise, so the mind become happy. So that means piti, sukha, the bodily happiness, mental happiness. So that's also getting to be available. And still, the piti, sukha is also there. And mind is now fairly concentrated. And one can say the ekagata is also there. Now, we can't say one is still in a fully absorbed level. So that is where the kind of a discussion is. Now, even though the factors are there, piti, sukha, ekagata and all that jhana factors are there. So what is the depth? So depth is another matter of when we are talking about the jhana. So first jhana therefore is that kind of an attainment to a certain depth. Now you don't need to purposely do anything. So mind has now acquired that capacity. It has become the first jhana now. So these jhana factors are fully operative naturally by themselves and you have nothing to do. There you can say now you are fully absorbed to it. Before that, typically we call it as a kind of upachara samadhi, kind of a neighborhood concentration. You are in the vicinity of the first jhana but not yet fully attained that. You are getting closer to it. You are still preparing yourself. You are still developing the skills or the momentum. And once enough momentum is gathered, then only you attain the first jhana. Now you can simply dwell there. You have nothing to do. I mean, your side contribution is nothing now. Because you are fully absorbed into it. You are fully there. It's a matter of simple enjoyment now. Now you can say you are in the first jhana. Because the jhana factors are there. All five jhana factors are there. So you are in the first jhana. Suppose that you attain the jhana but only three jhana factors are there. Then one can say, okay, you are dwelling in the second jhana. Suppose you abandon even the piti, only sukha ekagata are there. Then you can say you are in the third jhana. If the sukha is also abandoned, only the equanimity and ekagata are there. Then we can say you are in the fourth jhana.
Thank you, Bhante. And the second part of the question is asking, planning future activities, can we consider as bhava asha?
Yeah, can. Because you are not fully in the present moment, and a certain amount of future related planning is there. So you have some futuristic desires and some dreams are there about the future, expectations are there. So that all comes because of the bhava tanha, the desire to become. So you may have certain ambitions, you want to become someone, you want to, you know, acquire something. So some relationship is there actually anyway with the kama asava also, when we are talking of bhava asava. And but still bhava asava can be there even without kama asava. We are, say for example, assume that one is a non-returner, anagami. Still we can say bhava asava is there, but not with the what we call the typical sensual desire related, but maybe some absorption related, some arupa realms related, or rupa realms related. So very subtle desire to exist is still there.
Thank you, Bhante. That's all for the written question.
Any question on your side? Nothing from you? Yeah. Okay. So no question from our side also today. Okay, there is one question. Yeah.
Okay, feel free to unmute.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante, for the Dhamma discussion today, Dhamma Sutta. Bhante, I would say just would like to seek some clarification about the signless situation. If I understand it as like there are thoughts coming into my mind that I see it and don't follow through it, is that considered signless?
We can't still say so, because still you are very much in the kind of awareness. You can't say you are in the signless samadhi, because once you attain the samadhi, its purity is there. Its purity is intact. Suppose for 5 minutes you are in the samadhi, so during that 5 minutes there are no signs at all. Then you can say you are consistently, during that 5 minutes, you have attained the signless.
Right. So, but does that mean like there's no thoughts for, let's say, 1 or 2 minutes? Or
correct.
Something like that?
Yeah, no thoughts. No.
I should not mix it up with the thoughts. It should be...
Exactly.
Is it?
It's a purely no thoughts, no signs. Pure emptiness should be there.
Right, because towards the end of the Dhamma talk, you mentioned like signless eventually will achieve emptiness, and I think you also, I felt that you were trying to say that both kind of almost could be similar or like almost there, is it? They are both similar words.
Actually, it's a kind of a different, we can say, how we look at it. Now, say for example, When signs of sensual desire is not there, so we can say now you are signless at to what some extent. On the other hand, you can say you are empty of those signs, but still certain other signs are available, so you are not empty of that. Now, So emptiness is very much like the absence of signs, so that the mind is empty. Signless is again no signs.
I understand, but yeah, because that could still be, I may have no certain type of like say, like sensual signs, but I may have other signs, right? Yes.
Maybe that's the thing. Now say certain signs are still very, very minimal, very subtle. Say signs of Vedana, feelings, maybe still there, even, but some gross signs like images of your son, daughter, brother, sister, president, whatever, so those are not there.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes. Right. Okay. Yes, Bhante, I think I can relate to that. Thank you so much for the advice.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Darshika.
Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Bhante, so this, I'm referring to this last stage of Arhat in the animitta state, signless state, and going into the emptiness. So that is the deathless state.
Yeah, we can say
what
so.
What happens to the body finally?
No, body is still, I mean, so being an Arahant, say someone
yes.
has attained Arahatship, so body remains as it is. So he is still
so,
continuing his life. So that's why Buddha ultimately mentioned in this Chula Sunyata Sutta, even though he is now fully liberated, still certain amount of friction coming from the body still remains.
So the final death occurs due to what?
Death occurs maybe due to many reasons, due to any reason.
Natural
reasons.
Illness.
But it can be someone else's impact also. Someone can even kill the Arahant. That's also possible.
But that's only the body, so it's
exactly.
not
a... Yeah, yeah. So we can't say now there is a person. So that's why it is mentioned in the sutta also. Now, even though this Arahant is living, people can see his body, but there is no person.
Person.
Very interesting, I mean. So how it is being very much like represented. So people simply see the body, thinking that now this Venerable Sariputta, now this Venerable Moggallana, something like that. But internally, he is not operating as a person as we do.
I have another question, clarification, Bhante. Now, in these last sutras, you mentioned that it goes from stages. So a person could, before really going into Arhat state, could be having all three. They can shift from one, just the normal with the signs, then. Signless, then emptiness. Can they go on in all three stages, like time and a while? Or once you mention it to say signless state, then you shouldn't have any signs at all?
Well, I think rather than saying so, now he may to some extent say associate certain signs. But they are simply dripping from the mind. They may not stick into the mind. Sometimes Buddha give a kind of a simile where you know that the lotus leaf. So when a lotus leaf is considered, when water droplets are put into that, nothing is absorbed to that and nothing remains and quickly drops away. So likewise, typically mentioned that even though he is associating the signs, depending on the circumstances, his mind does not kind of absorb to them or mind does not get polluted by them. So it simply maintains that kind of a distance.
Okay. Thank you very much, for the clarification. It's very clear. Teruvan Sannai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sannai.
Thank you. I'm looking to invite Geeta for the next question.
Bhante, two very basic clarifications I need.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, in the Four Noble Truths, when it says the five aggregates of clinging are suffering, I'm thinking that the five aggregates in themselves is just that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only when clinging is applied that suffering occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So just those five, if there is no clinging, then that is...
We can say the mental suffering is not there. Now, if this aggregates may exist, but since there is no grasping, mental suffering is not there.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Then the second is, when people talk about jhana states, listening to it, it's almost like you're being transported into a different realm. But as I understand, it's just another mental state. With those particular qualities.
Yeah, but by the way, it is kind of a transformation is there. Now, that's why typically now we are being in this karma realm. So, we have when we are dwelling in this karma realm, so we are more into the earthbound. So, all the earth-related, karma-related, sensuality-related torture is still, you know, that torture in the mind, occupying the mind. But when one absorb a jhana, abandoning all this sensuality, viviccheva kamehi, viviccha kusalehi dhammehi. Now you are completely free from the sensuality, sensual desires, and this sense-based related activities. So you are very much like deprived from that. So that's why when you absorb to that state, assume that you absorb to the first jhana, now you can't get the torturing of this sensuality. You are at a different level, basically. Even though you are living in this world, true, but the mind is uplifted to a different level.
Okay. So yes, it's not just another mental state. There's something different.
A little different, yeah. That's what I feel. Because now, Buddha, when asked, that in the Pottapada Sutta, I can remember, so he's talking about the different mental levels. So while you are at a higher level, you can't say you are at the lower realm as well. So at a higher level. So it's very much like, so you have kind of migrated to another level temporarily.
Yeah. Okay, Bhante, thank you.
Thank you. So there's a written question here about the signlessness that we were discussing earlier, Bhante. It says, a thought is always attached to a sign. A thought cannot exist without a sign. Please clarify.
Can you repeat?
Sure, Bhante. It's asking, a thought is always attached to a sign? Question mark. A thought cannot exist without a sign? Question mark.
Yeah. We can say so. Because these five aggregates are very much like interrelated, interconnected. And we can say a certain feeling is there. And certain perception is there. Certain thought, intention is there. But the point is, to which part do we have the prominence? Now, if you are paying the prominence to the feeling, okay, we primarily feel that. When you are paying particular attention to the perception, the sign, that doesn't mean that the feeling does not exist or the thought does not exist, but the perception, the sign, become more prominent. But when thought is there, thought still, as you said, feeling part and the perception part is there, but the thought part is the what we become more, very much like dealing with. So the five aggregates are fairly coexist. But at a given time, probably we may be paying attention to a particular aggregate which is more prominent. And another interesting point that related to this, there's a short sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya. Sanimitta bhikkave uppajjati papaka akusala dhamma no animitta. So Buddha mentioned all the unwholesome states are appearing, arising with a sign. So any unwholesome thought needs to have a sign, needs to have a perception. Suppose that you are thinking about your loved one. So immediately there may be a mental impression, mental image of that loved one, and a thought is also there.
thank you, Bente. And does this state of signlessness correspond to one of the 16 stages of insight, Bente?
Insight. 16 stages of insight. Actually, that 16 stages of insight is a later contribution to the Dhamma. So those light 16 vipassana knowledges. So those are not appearing in the suttas. Later, when it comes to Visuddhimagga, so that's such kind of explanation was given. So there are, I can't remember exactly what are the 16, exact 16, I can't remember. And so at whatever age, you have to say that signless state is available. Now, according to suttas actually, so say one, if one is practicing Satipatthana, so you come to a stage that your mind is no more, say, grasping things. So grasping has temporarily stopped and your mind does not associate anything. Association also stopped. Anisita and then Anupadana. Unassociated, non-grasping. There, as you continue, you may reach the signless. So therefore, the practice is quite straightforward when we are talking of the sutta point of view. But later, when it comes to the commentaries, things have become fairly complicated and more extremely detailed.
Thank you, Bente. So I guess we can say the state of signlessness will continue to lead us towards those 16 insight realizations. Is that correct?
We can say 16 states ultimately, rather than 16. Now say the 16 may already have the ultimate realization also. That means in between you may get the signless. Now, as we already discussed today, signless state you still have available before you become fully arahant, but still you are a noble. So as you continue this as a noble, you ultimately become fully enlightened. So that means before full enlightenment, still signless state is available, but not perfect, not yet developed to the signless cheto vimutti. Fully liberated signless is not the level, but a very portion of signless, a part of signless, a limited signless still is available.
Okay, thank you, Bente. I'd like to invite Chita Devi for the next question.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. Bante, I may have missed some of your explanation, but I just want to clarify something.
Mm-hmm.
That my understanding of emptiness is the realization of non-self. Mm-hmm. So there is no me, mine, myself. Correct. Is that correct?
Correct, correct.
So, and also signless and emptiness are not interchangeable. My understanding is from signless you get to emptiness. Is that right?
Reasonably think like that. Say you start with the signless because you thoroughly understood the impermanence. But later, yeah, further and further, because of the practice, you understand the kind of non-self as well. Because you understand, okay, these things are quite transient, so how can there be a self? So that non-self understanding also emerges now.
Yes.
So therefore, ultimately, you can end up with the emptiness as well.
Sorry, Bhante, I missed that.
Because of that understanding of non-self later, developing in the mind, you end up with emptiness as well.
Yes, because that is the ultimate. That is the end of...
Actually,
you have come to your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, we can
when
say
you
so.
When you have realized the emptiness through wisdom, through your personal experience,
mm-hmm.
then that is the end of the goal. And sometimes one goes into that emptiness briefly and comes out, of course. Correct me if I'm wrong, because it's not a permanent state. When you're meditating, you go into that emptiness off and on, but you come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can experience that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can say so. But only thing is, now, you know, these two states are very much like referred together, even for arahants. You know, there are verses in the Dhammapada, in the Arahantavagga, saying, Sunyato animitto cha vimokko yesa gocharo, akaseva sakuntanang padantasa duranya, in the Arahantavagga, Dhammapada. Yeah, that means, these arahants mind, so they simply use Sunyato animitto, emptiness and the signless, as their posture.
Yes. So, because my understanding was that what we see is not really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is some sort of an energy, and that not that there is nothing. There is something which is some form of an energy. What we hear of is not what we what we are hearing is different to the actual hearing, and that is of energy and so forth. So once you realize that, then you are coming towards this emptiness. Is that correct, Bhante?
Actually, you are talking of signless also, because
is that signless as well?
Yeah, because now say you see things, but you are not picking the signs, telling, okay, this is mother, father, and this is red, blue, circular, triangular, like that.
Yeah.
You simply see things as sort of energy, because you are omitting the signs.
But there's something there still.
As you said, we can say, okay, it's kind of energy.
Yeah. Okay.
So these are actually, that's why I mentioned, so these are kind of two perspectives. So you are looking at from one angle, okay, you can say, okay, this is signless. Once you look at from another angle, you can say it is emptiness. I feel that may be the reason that for the arahants, rather than simply saying that they are continuously dwelling in purely emptiness, sunyato animitto cha vimokko yesa gocharo. It's very much like interchangeable from what angle that you are looking at. So anyway, the sunyata and animitta becomes their posture. So the mind is not registering any signs, mind is not personifying any experience, thinking that there is a person, and so the mind is empty as well as it is signless. And
so
again,
and again,
anidassana. Mind does not manifest as to anything, and its purity is intact.
Okay, right. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Anyway, these things are, you know, we need to discuss these things. So we are all discussing, not as arahants, you know, as practitioners. So these are the areas very interesting as well as motivate us to further practice. And what we said is also not the ultimate. So we can further and further explore. And that exploration help us to further navigate through the practice. Okay, and if there is no any more questions, we can wind up the session.
Yes, we are done with the questions today. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Okay, then we have spent a fair amount of time today also discussing the Dhamma as well as exploring certain suttas and all the merits what we have accumulated. We share with all the celestial beings, with all the past relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to understand the Buddha's teaching, attain path, fruition, nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. ආකාසට්ඨාජ බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨාජ බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨාජ බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සදං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු